What's up, guys? Welcome back to the How to Start a Pressure Washing Business podcast with myself, Aaron Parker. I got a really great friend of mine on the podcast today, and I'm just going to say it, you know, Cody Yarbrough right here from Southeast Softwash. This episode, because we don't have many episodes right now on the podcast, this one is sponsored by SoutheastSoftwash.com for all of your equipment needs, all of your chemical needs, soft washing equipment. Cody and the team over there are the top sellers of soft wash equipment in the world. They move a lot of equipment. It's easy to use. They have figured out that system, and they offer great customer service. So if you need anything like that for your business, from surfactant to got a new efflorescence chemical coming out, got a bunch of degreaser and soft wash trailers, equipment, pressure washing stuff, go to SoutheastSoftwash.com and grab it up right now. Cody, how you doing today, brother?
I cannot complain, man. It's a little bit cool down here, and I'm going to the gun range in about 2 hours or so, so it's going to be a good day.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that Skunk Works, Skunk Wash Works hoodie you got there, man.
Yeah.
We got for guys. I need one of those, man. We, you know, for the guys who are listening to this on the podcast, Cody's got this the new division of, I wouldn't say it's Southeast Softwash. It's completely separate. It's Skunk Wash Works. It's a division of innovation for the industry, coming out with a lot of products this year. I mean, I know cranking into 2023 right now. Last year we came out with the Batch Buster valve.
Yeah,
tell a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that was sort of the first big one. But this is a separate, I guess we would call it an R&D company, big budget little office looking sales. So the focus there is just on, like you said, bringing innovations to the industry that we've noticed in our 25 years. You know, my dad goes all the way back to 1985, pretty much pioneered soft washing before it was called soft washing. We were doing it before it was cool, but we've been noticing for the last 2.5 decades that we've had to work with stuff that's not purpose made. And so the Batch Buster valve was the first big rollout of the Skunk Shop there. We do have some other cool things, but they're not super technical, like the tall reach tip and the titanium. That was really cool, but very simple product, right? So not a lot of research there. But coming up this year, we're going to be rolling out some even cooler stuff, hopefully at least one or two projects that'll be out for the industry. So we're trying to get us out of going over to the farm and grabbing some stuff and going over to the pest control world and grabbing some stuff. We want our own purpose-made gear and equipment because it is a demanding industry, Aaron, you know, with the chems and stuff like that we use. We really do need purpose-made equipment. And so that's what we're all about doing with the Skunk division of the company.
So Skunk Wash Works is, like you say, the big budget little office. You know, I feel like I need some birth control glasses and a bunch of Marlboro cigarettes laying around, you know, with some schematic papers. Absolutely. So talk for the guys who are just now figuring out about the Batch Buster valve. What is a metering valve? Why should anyone care what the Batch Buster valve is and what it does, right? Because some new guys, man, I remember when I first got started in pressure washing, someone said downstreaming to me, and it sounded like a foreign term. I had never heard that vocabulary. And so I want to distill it down to the simple stuff. Why does a guy need a metering valve in his soft wash business at all?
Well, you don't need it to be successful. You can do what we call a batch mix system, and that's pretty much where everybody starts. That's what I did for years. I guess 2004, 5, 6, I was just out of high school. Just got married, and so doing it on the side as a weekend hustle, a batch system will definitely get it done. The limitation there is you've got one tank, so you're going to manually combine your water soap bleach to a specific ratio depending on what you're going to go clean, and you're stuck with that tank. So the next evolution is to a blendable system, so that requires three tanks. So now we're going to separate our water, bleach, and surfactant, our soap additive, into three sources. But now we got to be able to combine these three sources on the job site. Super efficient. There's nothing out there that will jump you efficiency wise quite like going from blending, from batching to blending. It's like a 20x efficiency gain on the day. So now you can do multiple jobs in a day, even some, you know, big jobs, you're going to need three or four ratios per job. And what I found a lot of times in training literally thousands of guys is if they don't have a blendable system, they're either not able to do the job or they spray a way hotter mix than they need to spray just because that's all they can do to get the job done, which that just directly translates to killing plants, killing bushes, at the very minimum, wasting a ton of bleach. And so a blendable system is kind of where you really want to go to, like as soon as possible. It's a car and batch mixing is a horse and a buggy and the buggy's missing a wheel. That's kind of where you're at. And so when we make the leap into a blend system, and honestly, guys, most guys nowadays just started a blend system. That's a good starting point because we've grown the industry and we've expanded these products to be more available. So whether you're growing into one or starting at one, you need to be able to combine these chemicals, right? So how do you do that? Well, fortunately, our electric pumps, they do create their own suction effect. So we've got our three tanks, we've got hoses, we've got plumbing, and in the middle of all that, we're going to build what we call a blend manifold, which is some check valves to prevent backflow issues. But the real main part of that is that metering capability. So we want to be able to adjust these ratios. So if you need a 1% mix on, say, vinyl siding, you just turn it to 1. If you're cleaning a roof, you may go up to 5 or 6% mix if it's really, really bad. So that metering valve, okay, this is a thing to know. It's not a regular PVC ball valve from Home Depot. You cannot meter with those really at all. There's guys that try it. It's really stupid because it's almost no point in even doing it. It's if you look at a CV chart, it's a coefficient of friction value chart, your curve goes like this, whoop, and then it goes straight up on a regular ball valve because past about a third of the way, it's just flowing almost everything from that point on. So you really don't have any ability to control, right? It's like a gas pedal that only is you're in park or you're going 80 miles an hour. So we don't want that. We want to be able to finesse it depending on what we're doing on a house. Let's say you're doing a vinyl sided house and a roof on the same house. Well, you need 5% up there and 1.5 down here. Because I guarantee you, if you spray 1 up there, it ain't going to clean it. You spray 5 down here, you're going to kill everything, catch an outlet on fire, stuff like that. So that's where the metering comes into play as far as the need for metering. But what we found with the skunk division and rolling out that valve is the valves that we were using were kind of crappy. Aaron, we've talked about this before. I don't know if we really mentioned it, but a GF valve, a George Fisher metering valve, it's a model 523. That's what everybody uses. They don't even meter at the number 20 on the dial. It's not even doing anything.
It's not even on.
We discovered that by mistake one night. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we've lived in the valve land for a solid 2 years. Like, I mean, I would wake up thinking about valves. Okay, so when you look at something and you study it that much, you start finding where it's good, what are the good things about it, what are the flaws. That's one of the big flaws with the George Fisher. Is that it doesn't even turn on till the 20 degree mark. Right. 20 degrees, it's not even on yet, so it's completely off. So if you thought you were giving surfactant, I just need a little bit, you actually have no surfactant in the line at 20 degrees. You have to go beyond that to start even getting flow of any sort. So that was one of the big thing that I think a lot of guys don't understand. And also, I think that the George Fisher is kind of like a valve for ants. It was what we had. It's small. It's a half-inch situation. And what we're noticing now with the Batch Buster and some of the improvements that we've even done with the Batch Buster very quickly with the Super V-Ball, that these pumps actually have been being restricted for forever, for
25 years,
you know, well, and we just didn't know it.
15 years, yes, since people kind of started blending. Now it doesn't really manifest much on a 12 volt situation, but it is there. There's a lot of restriction in that valve because when you kill your, we'll have guys enter tech support tickets and they'll say, hey, my rig's only spraying, you know, 37 feet. I thought you guys said 50. And we're like, yes, it is 50 if all three lines are open, because that's the only way we can test a system is it's by just like take all the variables out, right? So when they drop off bleach and soap, or maybe they're on a 1% bleach, a low bleach setting and a low soap setting, just because of the nature of the half inch valve, it does work for a 12 volt, but even on a 12 volt, it's almost not quite enough flow. But that really should start showing when you get past into any bigger pumping systems. It's a big problem.
Yeah, we're just now having guys reach out who are using gas systems, booster systems, and they're using the Super V-Ball, and they're like, holy crap, man. Like, I have another 10-foot on my gas system of reach. It's pretty amazing to see that from the public, you know, because for how long we've lived in it, in the minutia of that valve system, and really dialing it in to be proprietary to the industry, made to the math, very easy for employees to use, high flow, all the things that everybody desires. It's really cool to start getting that back from guys who use pumps that we don't even use, right. You know, and that's really awesome. So,
yep, it's very cool to see, and taking something from an idea over 2 years ago and refining it. And, you know, when you launch something like that, that's a multi-million dollar project, you're kind of crossing your fingers and hoping that everybody kind of sees the value. And that's why we kind of have to keep reiterating it, because a lot of that stuff is just baked into the valve. And so it's very cool. A lot of technician friendliness made into it. It can also accept an actuator. So that's cool. Just a lot of stuff that Super V-Ball is huge. That's a huge thing. On anything getting around 10 gallons a minute or past that, that's what you're going to want to have, because there's like 50% more flow, which your pump needs the liquid on the incoming side to be able to compress that liquid and send it out on the pressure side. So if you're restricting it, that's one of the things that kills pumps. Pump longevity is restriction on a pump is not a good thing. It's not a good, you're going to know it immediately because you're not getting performance. You're going to know it down the road because your pump's probably going to die sooner than it would have because you weren't providing it what it wanted the whole time to be able to do its job.
Absolutely. And so that's the Skunk team. We've got a bunch of things in the works. I say you. It's really, frankly, it's we.
Aaron just tries to be humble, guys. Aaron, if people knew what Aaron does, they could not hold. They couldn't stand it. It'd be like putting an infinity stone in their hand. They just fall down.
So. I just don't know how to tell everybody, you know, without sounding like an asshole, frankly.
Yeah. He puts a lot of that back on me because everybody expects it from me at Southeast. But, guys, I'll just say it. Aaron really did probably 60-40 situation with the valve development. He kind of tipped the spear on that one because I'm so busy here in the shop. And we put our heads together for over 2 years, but some of the things we've got coming up next is sort of the other way around. They're sort of, I'm kind of pushing that, and then me and Aaron get together. So it's a great partnership. We could do a whole episode on picking the right partners, right? Like why that stuff matters, because you'll see things I won't see. I see things you won't see. That's why it's a good team.
Man, a lot of that math stuff, a lot of that in-field, like, performance-based stuff, you know, you've just been in it for so long. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense, but tell me why it doesn't make sense. And sometimes you're like, actually, that doesn't make sense. We should do something right about that. And sometimes you're like, well, this is why that is the way it is, and this is what you're going to deal with. So it is good. I would say, you know, when it comes to partnerships, having someone who is who's very smart, but yet completely kind of out of that loop, who's out of the minutia of it all, can be one of your biggest assets. I think it's like they're not already in the propaganda, and they don't have the limitations that an industry or a hierarchy of humans has placed on you, right? Like people say, well, hey man, the 4 minute mile's impossible. You can't run it. And everybody's running the 6 minute mile. And a dude's over here like, hold on, dude, just restructure this track a little bit. Why don't you just restructure this and do this? And they're like, well, damn, you know, like it is possible.
Some of the stuff that we've worked on with the valve and even some of the future projects, we've got a team of guys working on this stuff. It's not just us. It's we're running it, running the show, but we've brought in experts in engineering, experts in chemical flow, experts in hydraulics, right, electronics and things like that. So it is beneficial because we're so in the industry that there'll be something right in front of our face that even we can't see. It's like, oh, and then that winds up being one of the coolest features of the product. So the thing there is that guy that doesn't know anything, he doesn't know if that's a great idea or a flop, but we can vet that. But they'll have some ideas there that that we wouldn't have ever even thought about, which is pretty crazy.
The biggest question I think everyone needs to ask about any portion of any industry that you're in is why.
Why do we do it that way?
Why do we do it that way? Why is marketing the way it is? Why do we reach our customers the way we reach them? Why is this valve the way it is? And why do we use this valve? Because George Fisher don't know the hell we are. Okay. Nope. George Fisher has factories in 7 countries. They make stuff for factories, shipping. Like, they build so much plastic that this little valve that everybody in the softwash world had been using since till the Batch Buster, they didn't know why they were selling so many. They were like, well, where is this? And it ain't a lot to them. They were selling, you know, a certain amount a year, and then they would look at the numbers. They'd be like, well, I guess we're going to continue making them. And then sometimes they just quit making them.
Right. That was also a problem. That was really initially one of the main factors that pushed us to do the valve first as our first big project with the Skunk Team, was because of availability. And I'm in the shop. I got my Skunk Mobile. I got the Land Rover Defender in the shop. But just this year, so today's the 14th. We're 14 days into January. We've built 20 rigs. All right, that's a lot of valves, not counting website sales. We haven't had them on the website, but if we had, we would have sold, you know, a bunch of valves. And so the industry is demanding more than these companies are even gonna produce, because we're not a blip on their radar. We're somewhere down the P&L, like on page 92. Oh, that model valve, we sold a bunch to some guy. Okay, anyway. And so we're always at, you know, the next phone call we get is they're out of stock and they're gonna be out of stock, and what do you do? So that's no longer a problem. We've got inventory that's made for us, and we're not struggling, you know, to keep up with things. So a lot of good innovations there, a lot of problems solved, a lot of green check boxes clicked off.
What type of, like, you know, when we first started this adventure, here's the question I have is, how does a toe or two toes from South Alabama ordain themselves, have the gall, if you will, to invent something like that? Because this is contrary to everything we were brought up on. And I know a lot of the listeners, you know, innovating in any way, like even starting their pressure washing business. I mean, think about that, right? There's guys who are taking flack from their wives out there for buying a pressure washing rig. Like, right. That is so minuscule on the level of flack compared to what we're dealing with. But we came from that, right? We know, yep. If we go all the way back in time, we've got buddies who can't even buy a gun without taking shit from somebody they know, right? So what has to happen for one to get to that place where they have the confidence to just pull the trigger on innovations like this? Like, it's definitely a growth process.
It is, and it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things that's self-fulfilling prophecy, that if you are not man enough, we've got some girls, some ladies in the industry too, but if you don't have that backbone in you, it's a self-fulfilling thing where you'll never have that. You know, it reiterates to you that you're not able. Kings don't ask if we can, but why is that guy the king and I'm the peasant, right? Why is that guy got the authority and I don't? Like, who said that? We took a lot of that in the training when we started offering training. It's like, who are these guys? Like, well, you know, honestly, I've been doing this longer than you have, you big old fat neck skin tag looking sale. Because there's guys in the industry that have been training guys for years. And honestly, I'll say this, their training material is fine. It's good stuff. They're not saying anything incorrect in their training material. But they're really not happy with us because we've come in and shook the basket up, and we get a lot of eyeballs, and we get a lot of guys that resonate with us and they take our training. But what we do have to back that up is expertise. I'm not just training people on something I don't know anything about. My dad invented roof cleaning. in 1985. Like, I'm sure there were some other guys playing around with it in the mid 80s, but no more than they can lay claim to inventing soft washing. You know, we've got the same ability basically because we from the factory level came out with roof cleaning and called it roof. That's what we called it. We called it low pressure roof cleaning. And there's, you know, a dozen guys out there that are considered industry leaders. And we just, for whatever reason, said, you know what? I don't care what you call yourself. No more than they should care what we call ourselves. The question is what we're putting out a good product? Is the training solid? And at this point, you know, going into year five, it's not even a question. We've got guys doing multi-million dollars, buying their third and fourth rig. You know, I won't even be questioned. I will not even allow myself to be questioned. I will not be questioned. But the fact that the reason I can say that, and it sounds arrogant if you don't understand it, is I don't involve myself in things that I know I'm not an expert in. I won't put my name out there if I'm not an expert in the field. So, yes, within these fields, I do toot my own horn pretty loud. But I don't go to fields that I don't know anything about and toot my horn at all. So hearing these two or three things that I'm an expert in, you've got to be able to, if you're not going to say that, if you're not going to plant your flag in the ground, who's going to do it for you? Why did America say, hey, we're going to go to the moon? Why did Kennedy do that? Because he knew they could. He knew they could. And they did, right? Whether or not you believe they did or not. But we're just ballsy enough to say it. And I think that's kind of how you've got to be no matter what the scale is. We're talking about the valve. We're talking about building 400 rigs a year, shipping them all over the world, doing multi-millions of dollars in business. Maybe you're just starting off with a pressure. You got to buy a pressure washer and convince your old lady that you can do this thing. If you don't take a leap at some point, you're never going to move the needle. And when you start writing those checks and betting on yourself and you win, it's easier to do it the next time. And you win, it's easier to do it the next time. And now you've got a track record. So if I go to Emily right now, my wife, and I say, hey, we're going to sell the house and we're going to build and we're going to buy this other building and we're going to put another company over there. She says, okay, because I've got a track record of success. Now, you can't do any of the things we're talking about if you're not going to be successful. You can't. And Aaron, speak to this, please, because we see so many guys that they have the ability, but they don't burn the bridges behind them. They don't burn the ships when they hit the shore. And then they want to blame everything else, which is really just a commitment issue on your fault, on your part, that you've got to be successful. There's got to be no going back. I'm going to be successful. And you've got to build that track record. But in the early days, I think it's very important to burn the bridges.
I think a man has to be willing to lose in order to burn the bridges, right? Like, I'm willing for her to divorce me. I'm willing for her to pack her shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you got to be. This starts going against, like, everything, you know, Southern culture, right? You mean you willing to lose your wife? Yes, to better my family, because I don't trust her with the helm. And if you do trust her with the helm, she's going to resent you for it. Okay,
it's not facts. What they want.
She'll run the thing aground, and it's your fault. It's your fault you let her drive. Okay, and that's what she thinks. She's like, "Well, it's your fault. You shouldn't have let me drive," and it is your fault. So that's, you know, we're talking about some masculinity points here when it comes to guys chasing their dreams, and we have a lot of guys in the industry, and even the girls resonate with what we're saying. Like Ashley, some of these girls who are in the groups, like she's like, "Hell yeah!" Like that's exactly what it has to be. But you have to take the reins from anyone who is in your life who you perceive has them. And you have to ordain yourself. These are my reins now. I'm running my life. I'm buying this pressure washer. I'm buying this rig. I'm going to go make six figures a year. Take home. I'm going to take home six figures a year with this rig. And you say, well, how do you know? How do you know? Well, I will tell you guys, we've trained so many people that the guys who take the reins like that and ordain themselves as the leader in their market, you know what happens? Oddly, they become the leader in the market. Isn't that weird? It's like Muhammad Ali saying, I'm the greatest. He just keeps saying it over and over. You know, there was a time when Muhammad Ali was 19 years old, 18 years old, 17 years old. He was saying, I was the greatest. So the funny thing, he wasn't at that time. He was just saying it. He was saying it. But there is something to speaking it, writing it down, allowing it to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, and then going against every bit of your raising. I talk about that a lot because I believe that is actually the main origin of this issue, is that it's everyone who they respect, you know, has talked them out of the ability of taking charge of their own life. You know, I know dudes back home, bro, they're like 50 years old and they're like still worried about what mama thinks.
That's right.
Well, mama, you know, my parents, you know, it's like, look, I love you, mama. Cool. To hell with you, mama. Okay. Like, you got to take your own life. You got to take charge of your own situation. And your mom's going to love you if you win, and she's going to love you if you lose. The truth is, she's going to do that. But you have to take charge of your own life, take charge of your own success.
Why are we listening to people who are not where we want to be? It's like, I got uncles that are the same way that you talk about in a lot of your videos. It's like that broke uncle mentality. Hey, what you just need to do, boy. I'm like, no, wait a minute. You're not anywhere close to where I want to be. I was thinking, I watched the movie the other night with my boys, Lamborghini Ferrari movie. It was not a good movie. It's pretty recent. It just came out. I didn't enjoy it. I was kind of looking for more of that Ford versus Ferrari. I love that movie.
Yeah.
But the story of Lamborghini and Ferrari, I do like it, that a lot. And that's what he did. You know, he went and built a supercar company, and he bet on himself. But it was a calculated thing. He didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to build Lamborghinis. He was already successful as a tractor guy, and he was very successful. And so he knew that he could probably shake out okay, and he was honestly probably surprised with the success, you know, of Lamborghini. So we're not telling you guys to instantly jump in and you know, gamble your whole life on pressure washing. It's a $5,000 gamble, right? It literally is a $5,000 gamble to get started. I mean, you could do it for much less than that, but if you want to kind of do it in not such a tough way, you could do it. Aaron teach you how to do it for nothing. But if you got
still get hate.
Ain't nobody listening to this that can't scrape up $5,000. Like, bro, you've got $5,000 worth of crap in your house that you don't use that you could sell, get a pressure washer, get a surface cleaner, put a little bit of money into marketing. So it's always funny to me when guys are like, oh, y'all are just ruining people's lives, giving them all these pipe dreams. It's like, no, we're not. It's not even that big of a gamble. It's a very minute. Aaron's done went away. He's turned into yellow and blue and green and purple and red stripes over there. There he is. You still there?
Yeah, I had to switch out. My battery went dead on my other camera. So we're back.
But
we're back.
It's not that big of a gamble. It's like, dude, we can pretty much tell you if you implement the things that we say that you're going to be successful. We're not telling you you're going to be an overnight millionaire, but for the majority of guys making $50,000 at their job and they hate their life, what is a $5,000 investment? And you try it and you see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, sell the equipment, you broke even, right? It's not a big deal. But what we see is 80% of the folks that'll do it, they'll just implement what we teach. Implement the systems. There was a guy in the group this morning. I don't know if you saw this in our private group. He was asking about chemicals other than bleach. And I want to just go through the screen and say, bro, stop. You're thinking about things that don't matter. You're putting so many brain cells. And he comments a lot in the group. He's a good guy. It's just like, man, just do the things, right? Just do the stuff that we've proven works. It's not even a question anymore if it's going to work. You just got to implement. You got to take action. And if you've been listening to my channel or Aaron's channel for the last 2 or 3 years and you're still in the same dead-end job, you're still thinking about starting a business, right? You're going to keep doing that till you're 80 years old. It's not the what did you do questions that bother you. It's the what did I not do questions that are going to bother you, that you didn't try it. I'm not asking you guys to put a $100,000 check on the line. I know one guy that's done that. One person on the planet, I personally know that's done that. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to spend a little bitty bit of money and bet on something that's a pretty good bet. And I think that if you do it and you implement, that you'll find out that you should have done it sooner. That'll be the only regret that I have. Should have done it sooner.
Absolutely. Is it going to be hard, dude? Yeah, it's going to be hard. Everything is hard, though. I'm going to tell you, sometimes getting out of bed's hard. Like, you have to think of hard on a spectrum. You know, it's like going
it's hard
to your
being
job
broke too.
it's hard as shit being broke. Like, people don't get that, like, apathy and laying around and, you know, like, you're like that guy you're talking about, you know, bless his heart. But, like, I think all of that thinking is a result of idle hands.
Yeah.
You can only think like that and overthink whenever you're not really doing the main movers. You're not, I ain't going to cold call. Let me tell you, there's some cats, dude, we'll send them off and never hear from them again until like a year and a half. And they're like, hey, bro, I did 300,000 last year. And it's simply because he just started calling and hustling and doing the main needle movers, implementing the marketing. There's guys who will come to the training, and I love watching this because you can see it click. It's like, hey, man, invest in this. It's going to turn way more than you invest in it, like a footbridge site, right? I'm like, invest in this, 200 a month. He goes, bet. He writes it down. The next month, he's like, all this is done. This is going to, you know, and you're like, dude, I gave you a 10 checklist thing and you did all of them. Yep. Like, I already know you're going to be successful. Those guys don't even question. That's the beauty, I think. I really think that is. It's like guys like Starkey, some of these cats, early on, they've watched our channel, they've taken the course, and they just did what we said, and by God, they're successful. Now, obviously, they did the work. They went out and secured the job, and they closed. But here's the thing. The roadmap has been laid. You know, that's the beauty. When you have a track record like that, it's real hard to kind of go against it at the end of the day. I mean, it's only growing.
It reminds me so much. I love the show, Bar Rescue, John Taffer.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great show. But the dude is like, there's no question that this guy probably has forgotten more about that industry than most people ever know. But yet he'll go on the show, and a recurring theme is the dude in the failing bar is questioning John Taffer. He's like, no, I'm John Taffer, lad. Maybe you didn't know. You had the watch and the suit and the jacket and the hair's cold. That's me. I'm John Taffer. He's like, and at the end of the show, you know, they show him actually implementing what he's telling them to do. It'd be like they're just in love with this logo or something stupid. And he's like, no, we're going to change all that. Because he's about making money, and they're about their logo. You know, who gives a flip about the logo? I'm trying to make some millions, dog.
They're like, romantic about it. Yeah,
romantic about things that they don't need to be romantic about. Like, we're just trying to dial in the money. Where's the money at? That's literally the only driving factor. And if you got a bunch of money and you're successful, then you can start being romantic about things because you can afford to be. But if you're failing, don't keep doing it your way. That's like a classic cognitive dissonance thing. It's you just, man, I'm going to keep doing it the same way. Well, dude, you're hitting icebergs. You know, we're telling you there's a map right here that'll keep you off these icebergs. And if you'll just plug away that way, eventually you'll get to where you're trying to be. And how do we know? Because we've got like 1,000 ships across this channel. It's not just do the stuff that works. Don't do the things that don't work. Don't do that. It's a waste of time.
It's like talking to the guy who runs the ferry and being like, you should take that route over there. He's like, bruh, I've been running this ferry for 20 years, and there is a channel straight across, and it cuts a little to the left. I dare you to go out across that where you with your idea, right? And he's like, no, I know the route. This is the route. I've beaten the path. I've chopped it down with a machete. Let me condense all of this information for you and give you the GPS. Okay. Right. Now you can just drive across. So I think that, you know, it's a constant recurring theme. And this is what I found in personal development is even for me, I can't hear something just once and get it. I have to be kind of beat over the head with it and think about it and mull on it and take action on it and still fail and then come back to it and get beat over the head with the same information. And then eventually I'm like, oh, it's like the whole there's no free lunch thing. I didn't understand that as a kid. I was like, there's no free lunch. No one explained it. They just said it. Yeah. What it means is when someone buys you lunch, they expect something from you.
Yeah, it's like an economics lesson. Like,
it's an economics lesson in one line. You know, but as a kid, you're like, there's no free lunch. Well, I go to school and they give me free. It's free. No, the taxpayers are paying for that free. You know what I'm saying? So it you have to kind of be beat over the head with the same stuff in order to get it. But Cody, I know you're going to run and you're going to go shoot some guns here in about 5 minutes. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. This is one of the first episodes, Yeah. And thanks for coming on, talking about the innovations with Skunk Wash Works and Southeast Soft Wash and the Batch Buster Valve. I'm excited to see what you guys, us, come up with next in the works. 2023 is going to be a good year. Everybody who's watching this, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast and find Cody's channel on YouTube. It's Southeast Soft Wash. And like I said, he's the leader in soft wash equipment provider. If you're looking for something like that, or you just need some chemicals to get some nasty stuff off of a substrate of any kind, they got it over there, along with parts, tips, and the Batch Buster Valve. So this is the How to Start a Pressure Washing Business podcast. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll see you in the next episode.
Boom.